I'm sure we can all identify with our two scripture readings today. The first in the book of Romans, which speaks of a world which is groaning, a world and individual lives groaning. The second reading, which speaks of a good world invaded by evil. In Romans chapter 8, the word groan appears three times. And it's a word that's very relevant for our day, isn't it? Our planet groans, as it were, with the pandemic that seems to have reached to every corner of the globe. And in addition to that, there are the ongoing groans from the effects of global warming, from war in countries like Syria and others. And so many things nearby and far away that join together in a, as it were, a combined expression, a worldwide groaning of anguish and suffering and despair. For us as people of faith, the question is, what is our response to that reality? For some, it may be summarized in a bumper sticker of some years ago: stop the world, I want to get off. Wanting to retreat into our own little world, to insulate ourselves from the turmoil around us. It reminds me of that song from the 1960s, "Close the Door, Light the Light, We're Staying Home Tonight." Far away from the city and from away from the bustle and the bright city lights, let them all fade away, just leave us alone, and we'll live in a world of our own. Just so that you don't spend the rest of the service trying to remember who sang it, it was sung by the Seekers, the Australian singing group. And it's possible for us as Christ followers to have a similar outlook to the one expressed in that song. To want to insulate ourselves, to hide away, to stick our head in the sand, as it were, until Jesus returns. But of course that won't do. As followers of Jesus, our response needs to be something different, something far more positive. Just as Jesus himself entered into the darkness and the suffering of our world, so should we as his followers. There's that lovely saying that says it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. There is a lot of cursing of the darkness in our world, isn't there? But happily, there is also a good deal of lighting of candles, as it were. We've seen that in different ways over past months in this country and around the world, as people have rallied together and responded in a positive way to the challenge of this pandemic. Yesterday was International Nelson Mandela Day. The 18th of July was his birthday, and people have been encouraged to spend time on that day in some form of service to the community. It's a way to honor a man who devoted much of his life to working for a better and a more equal world. And for us as followers of Jesus, this should be an ongoing daily practice in honor of one who, more than anybody else, gave his life in the service of humanity. We should be at the forefront of bringing light and hope into a dark and a desperate world. Jesus himself said, You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. Edmund Burke wrote 250 years ago, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing." The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. And just as forces of darkness combine together to spread devastation, so Edmund Burke encouraged the people of his day, encourages us to join together, as it were, our candles, our rays of light, with others to make a powerful force for good. What rays of light can you and I shed abroad in our world, individually and together as churches and groups? What can we do to drive back the darkness and to relieve some of the groans of the world around us? The second message that comes to us from this parable of Jesus is the danger of judging. Sometimes, sadly, as Christians, instead of concerning ourselves with our own lives and what we are doing, we concern ourselves with looking for faults in others, others in the church, in other churches, in the world around us. And we can become like the workers in this parable of Jesus, who want to go out and pull up the weeds. The problem, of course, is that sometimes it's very difficult to distinguish between the wheat and the weeds, as was the case in that parable of Jesus, as those two lots of plants grew up together. And so in the church, there's the danger that people we may identify as weeds may just be wheat in a different guise. We see them maybe as weeds, but they may be wheat that simply interpret parts of the Bible differently from us, who see certain things differently from us. There may be weeds that are really wheat that prefers a different style of worship to us. The reality is that as humans, our judgments can sometimes be wrong, can't they? I love the story about Charlie Chaplin. When he was still alive, there was a Charlie Chaplin look-alike competition that was held, and he happened to be in the area, and so as a joke, he decided to enter, which he did, and he came third. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Do not judge." Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "Judge nothing before the time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of each one's heart." The fact is that none of us knows everything about another's heart or mind or background, do we? The secret struggles, the motivations that may drive them. As you look at me today, you may think that I'm looking rather smart in my clerical garb. What you can't see is the bottom half of me and what I'm wearing, which may not be as smart, although I won't tell you if that's the case or not. You see, we don't have the whole picture, and so we must be careful of making judgments. Robbie Burns once wrote, "Who made the heart? 'Tis he alone decidedly can try us. He knows each chord, its various tone, each spring, its various bias." Now, all of that, of course, doesn't mean that that we shouldn't know what we believe and where we stand on issues. It's fair enough to say, this is how I see it, and I fear that you may be mistaken. But we cannot pass final judgment on someone, writing them off and consigning them to hell, as it were. Maybe it's a case of distinguishing between disagreement on the one hand and judgment on the other hand. I can disagree with someone without condemning them and pronouncing judgment on them. James says in his letter in the New Testament, "For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Let mercy triumph over judgment. That's an important word for each of us, isn't it? The last message that I want to mention of this parable is a message of hope. Hope in the midst of turmoil and trouble. Jesus starts this parable, as he often does his parables, with the words, "The kingdom of God is like." The kingdom of God is like this. So what does this parable teach us about what the kingdom of God is like? As with a number of other parables, I believe Jesus is saying here that the kingdom of God is already amongst you. Jesus came to inaugurate that kingdom. God's already at work amongst us. That kingdom may not exist in its fullness. It may be obscured by the weeds of the world around us. But it is here, and ultimately it will triumph and will be displayed one day in its fullness. This parable is a message of confidence and hope for the future. David wrote in one of his psalms, Psalm 37, "Do not fret because of evil people, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon die away." If one looks at the evil rulers and the evil regimes in history, is it not true that they rise, but then again, before long, they die away? You think of Hitler and Nazism, of the Soviet Union, of apartheid. That doesn't mean that there won't be imperfect governments in the future. But I think it does say to us that evil does not continue indefinitely. Evil does not have the last word. And we are pointed to a day when evil will be finally destroyed. Going back to that Psalm of David, he continues, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and in joy, safe pasture. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." That takes us back, doesn't it, to where we started, doing good, letting our light shine before others, instead of cursing the darkness, lighting a candle. Martin Luther King delivered his last sermon the day before his assassination. He concluded his remarks that night with these words, "I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it doesn't matter to me now, because I've been to the mountaintop and I looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that as a people we will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any person. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Let's sing that song together.